Let's do be in prayer for Pastor and ask the Lord to watch over him. And I'm glad you're here tonight, and I hope that you come to hear from the Lord. And no matter who stands behind this pulpit, I always come to church wanting to hear from God. Amen. And I hope that that's your desire as well. And I did get a call this afternoon. I didn't know I was going to be preaching tonight, but be instant in season, out of season. That always comes to play. And I thank the Lord. He gave me a message last night when I was sitting at home, yesterday morning, he gave me a message, and now I know why. And so I hope it's helpful to you. I need prayer. I need prayer, and I hope that you will be attentive unto the Word of God tonight. And how many of you are Republicans here tonight? How many of you are Democrats? Please don't raise your hand. Any independents? You'll see why I'm asking that here in just a little while. Listen, I am a child of God. And the world is busy pushing us to try to be on this side or to try to be on that side. But we need to be on the right side. And so I just ask you to take that in consideration. And boy, the more the days go on, the more we feel like we have to choose sides. And I want you to know that's Satan's trap. It's a trap that Satan uses. He has many. If you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. And we'll see what the word of the Lord has to say. Now, you think about the nation of Israel. Of course, they're God's chosen people. Nothing's changed about that, interestingly enough. And we need to remember that. And, you know, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses the plans to build the tabernacle, to build the altar, redo the showbread. And you think about all this. God gave all these things planned out, and Moses was spending time with the Lord. Moses was spending time with the Lord, and of course, he went up on the mount. He went alone to meet alone with the Lord. And how he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know, but he did. And while he was up there, trouble takes place. And so we're going to pick up in verse 19, and I'll try not to keep you standing too long. Let me know when you're there, please. Exodus 32. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the waters and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. In other words, we know not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Now just think about all the things that Aaron is saying here, right? Let's continue on. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Father, this is your word. Father, help us to see what we need to see tonight. Father, every one of us needs to contemplate the subject matter of the message. Father, whose side are we on? Father, whose side am I on? Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross tonight. I pray that you would help me to convey the message that you have given me. Father, I'm not worthy. But Lord, you're holy. You're righteous. We need you. Please meet with us this evening and minister to our hearts. I ask this in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You think about Moses, the man of God, who received personally from God the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on them. How that Moses came down, and of course he shared all these things with the nation of Israel. They knew what God expected, and yet they still chose idolatry. Now, Aaron made up some lies in here, didn't he? You read the account, you see what was taking place. Aaron, who was left in charge to be the leader, led the Israelites astray. To say that the calf just popped out of the fire, we all know that's not true. To say that the people made him do it, he had the right to say no. He had the opportunity, the option to say, no, we're not going to do this. We know what God has told us. We know we're not going to do this, but Aaron collapsed to the will of the people instead of staying fast with the will of God. We are no different. It could happen to us. And we need to be very, very careful about that. Now, one of the things I want you to notice about what Moses asked, he did not ask, who is on my side? He didn't ask, who agrees with me that this is what should have happened instead of what took place? He didn't say that. He very clearly asked them, who is on the Lord's side? And again, as I told you, people are trying to push us to make a decision one way or the other, even in churches concerning doctrine. You know, whose side are you on? Don't we want to make people feel welcome? Don't we want to make people feel like they belong here? Well, we want people to come. We want people to belong. But still, God has his word. God has his commandments. And we need to realize that and stay with it. I'd ask you to turn over to Joshua, if you will. Joshua chapter 5. They've been defeating the nations. And they had just crossed the Jordan River, getting ready to do a magnificent battle against Jericho. But before it takes place, something happens. Now, God had already lifted up Joshua in front of the nation of Israel to put his stamp of approval upon him in front of them. He was magnified by the Lord. And by the way, the only one that should magnify you and I is God. If we magnify ourselves, that's pride. If we let others magnify us, we're tempted to be prideful. And, you know, I'm thankful for wonderful comments that people give. And you know, I want to do a good job preaching. I want to do a good job teaching. But I do not want to fall to prideful ambition. I do not want to preach so that I can hear you say, attaboy. Man, that was great. I mean, yes, do I love hearing it? Absolutely. But it brings me into danger of, will I rob glory from God? And as Joshua was being lifted up, as they were about to go and face Jericho and have this miraculous defeat of this city that seemed to be impenetrable, God did something. We're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, look at what he has the question here. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he, the man with the sword in his hand, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, who was Joshua's predecessor? Who went to a place where God says, remove your shoes from off your feet, for the land that you stand on is holy? Moses. Did you know that Joshua was Moses' minister? He served Moses. He was there in battle fighting alongside with Moses. And when Moses couldn't fight, he was fighting in the place of Moses. Think about that. When they were fighting against Amalek, Joshua and Ur going into the battle while Moses was beseeching God's face for their victory. And you remember Moses lifted up his hands and they had the victory. And when his hands would get weak and come down, they would start losing. And so they had people to go up and hold his hand. But there was Joshua in the midst of the battle. He knew how important the battle was. He remembered the promises that God had made unto Abraham. Those that curse you, I will curse. And those that bless you, I will bless. He remembered hearing about all this. And he knows that God is with the nation of Israel. God has given them victory after victory against the enemy. Now they're getting ready to go to Jericho. And Joshua looks out and he sees this man with a sword. He goes, hey, are you on my side? Or are you on their side? And a lot of times we're not careful. We want to make God choose sides. You're not going to make God choose sides. Best thing we can do is be on God's side. And as you think about it, and I'm not saying that what Joshua did was sinful. I'm not saying that, you know, Joshua was in error here. Joshua just did not recognize who it was until the Lord spoke.
Right.
We need to listen to God speak. We need to allow God to speak to us before we make rash decisions. Before we check off on this mark, well, this one's my enemy and this one's my friend because they're with me or they're against me. We need to check into the whole manner of allowing God to show us what we need to see. We do not see rebuke much other than the fact that he identified himself, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. But Joshua immediately fell into submission. Joshua immediately recognized that and wanted to know what the Lord would have him to do. Have we come to that place? You know, the world today, especially with our politicians and the leaders of our nation and things that are taking place throughout the world, one of the things that I hear our politicians say many times is, are we going to be on the right side of history? How many of you have ever heard that? You know, which history are we talking about? You say, what do you mean? Do you realize that many times the victors rewrite history? Are you listening to me? Whoever won the battle, usually they're writing history according to their perception. According to what they want to broadcast out for you to see. Well, here's some history I want you to be aware of. Be in his story. I just took the same word, broke it apart. His story, God's story. God's account. That's the one you need to be with. Do you realize tonight we hold in our hands a book that is forever settled in heaven? That's not going to change next election cycle, should the Democrats getting back into power, this will not change. It didn't change when Joe Biden was our president. It didn't change when Donald Trump became president. Okay? I'm not a big fan of politicians. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I believe they're all the uniparty. But that's not what we're here for tonight. I'm not on any politician's side. I want to be on the Lord's side. Even if I were to have a D or an R next to my name or even an I for an independent, my decisions, my choices should be based on what does God's word say, not on what our platform holds to. And we have been caught up in this a lot, and I see a lot of preachers getting caught up in this a lot. I see a lot of preachers worshiping our president today. We should never be that way. We need to be on God's side. God's side. But history can be rewritten. When we stand before the Lord, that's when we'll find out whether or not we were on the right side or not. Now, you can be saved and not on the right side. How many of you understand that? You can be born again, but still be on the wrong side if you choose to ignore what God says to do. You can be an enemy of the cross, even though you have accepted the one who died on the cross by denying his word. Are you on God's side? When Moses came and dealt with Israel after he found them in sin, doing all the things that God had warned them not to do in the Ten Commandments, he was furious, and he should have been. We should be angry, but sin not. Amen? We should be zealous to defend the Word of God, to stand up for the Word of God. I'm going to mention this, and I hope you'll listen to it before you decide what you think about it. You know, when we went out to Wyoming, we left here from this church as members, and I praise the Lord for it. I thought it was a great opportunity. We went out there and we experienced things I never thought I would ever have to experience in my whole life. We had to choose sides. I chose the Lord's side. It was difficult at times. I didn't want to believe some of the things that were being told me. But I chose the Lord's side. When it came time that I was convinced that it was time for me to resign from that pastorate and move back here, I was told that I was choosing the wrong side. When we came back, we had friends that used to be here. Now, while we were gone, there were some unfortunate things that took place here in this church. There was division. People left. When we came back, we didn't know what to do. I wanted to be where God wanted me to be. How many of you understand that? We visited other churches. And I'm not saying that to bring shame or doubt or anything. It's just I wanted to know perfectly what God's will was. I had no peace whatsoever visiting these other churches. And God directed us back home. Not only to Tennessee, but here, to Temple. And I thank the Lord for it. And I can see now, looking back, when I was making these decisions, I wasn't sure if I was right or not. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When I was making the decisions, it seemed like maybe I was wrong. But looking back, God giving confirmation, God allowing me to see, yes, this is exactly what you need to be doing. You know, a lot of times in our Christian walk, it's hard to know if we're doing right until we look back and we see how God moved everything. When I was lost, I had orders to go to Naples, Italy, in the Navy. Because of my dumb actions as a sailor, I lost my orders to go to Italy. I mean, why not? I wanted to go overseas. But then God directed me to Spain. I know you've heard my testimony, how I got saved in Spain. But I'm telling you, in my choosing, I chose Italy. That's where I wanted to go. Not for religious purposes, but that's just where I wanted to go. But then God allowed me to go to Spain. Looking back, I see how he guided every single part of that. I didn't see it at the time. But God took me to Spain so I could hear the gospel. A Roman Catholic country, think of that. But there was a missionary to the military there, serving the Lord, preaching God's word. And through my wife meeting her, her inviting me to church, God allowed me to hear the gospel. God allowed me to see my need of Christ as my personal Savior. And hallelujah, I trusted him. But what I'm trying to get across is, those times that I was making those decisions, I had no clue if it was the right thing or not. It's what I wanted to do. But thank the Lord, he was in it. And when it wasn't his will, he changed things. Do you understand? And do you ever get upset with God changing things? Do you ever get frustrated? You've made these plans and you say, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it biblically, but what if it's just not God's will? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you going to get mad at God? How many people get mad at God because he didn't do things their way? And again, the question is, well, who's God? Me or him? Well, he's God. And we would do best just to accept that. But we came back, and you know, we had good friends that questioned us. You're not on our side? No, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm sorry. If that makes you think that I'm your enemy, I'm not your enemy. But please understand, I feel that I must follow and do what God tells me to do. And every single one of us, whether you're a member of this church or a member of another church, whoever you are, if you're born again, that ought to be your decision. I want to be on God's side. Think about David. David knew he was going to be king, did he not? David knew he was going to be king. God had already anointed him as a teenager. That's kind of interesting to think about. Put him in the service under Saul, knowing he's going to be king one day. Saul tries to kill him, so David's on the run. David ends up in the lands of the Philistines, and the Philistines think, oh, we've got someone on our side now. And, you know, I think it was Aklag that he convinced that he was done with Saul, and he was Saul's enemy. But privately and secretly, David was going about destroying all the Philistines. And when he had opportunity to kill Saul, the one who tried to murder him on several occasions, when Saul was falsely accusing him and even set him up by putting Michal, his daughter, as David's wife, trying to ruin his life, David was convicted by the thoughts of doing wrong against Saul. And when asked why he didn't do it, he says, how can I do this against the Lord's anointed? See, David's number one priority, and yes, David had his sins and things of that nature, but his priority was, what does God want? What would God be pleased with? He wanted to be on God's side. And that's where we need to be. And of course, you know, while he was there, and even the captains, or not the captains, but the princes that were under Aklag, you know, they're like, don't trust David. He's going to come. He's going to kill you. So he can show to his master Saul. Well, David didn't do that, even though David's intent was, I'm going to protect Israel. I'm going to do what I think God would have me do. David, when he was king, he would go out, and before he went to battle, should I go? God would say, go. I'll deliver him. Another time, David said, should I go? God says, nope. David didn't say, well, I want to go. Didn't happen. He obeyed the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. When Paul was addressing the problems there at the church of Corinth, the sin that was taking place in the church of Corinth, those sexual sins that were being covered up were not being dealt with. Whatever the case may be, he told them what they ought to be doing. Yes or no? He says, you're not right with God until you deal with this. Things still take place today that churches are covering up, they're not dealing with. Whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you on the congregation's side? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to say, well, we're on the Lord's side and our congregation is on the Lord's side? That's the way it should be, yes or no? But Paul dealt with that. And, you know, there's a time that you separate from those that have sinned and you want them to be restored, but God still has his will, how to deal with it. And what was that for? So that Satan could sift them as wheat, and so that sin would be purged from their life, and then that they could be restored and brought back into fellowship. That's God's will. And being on God's side, that's how we need to deal with it. Listen, it's hard to deal with sin, is it not? It's not pleasant. It's not fun. But at the same time, when we choose not to deal with it, whether it be personal, whether it be others, we're not on the Lord's side like we need to be. Now, we'll say, I'm on the Lord's side. I mean, who's going to be foolish enough to say I'm not? But are we? Are we in agreement with God? How many churches have split because part of the congregation chose not to be on the Lord's side? And the other part chose to remain faithful to the Lord. And they go out and start a new church, and they call it Unity Baptist Church or Fellowship Baptist Church. You'll catch on in a second. You know, peace and tranquility. No, no. Does God want unity in our congregation? But in order for us to have unity in our congregation, we've got to be on the Lord's side. And if we're not on the Lord's side, there will not be unity here. There will be divisions. But who do you think is behind that? Satan is. There's sin in the camp. Whose side are you going to be on? There's sin in the war. There's problems. Whose side will you be on? Think of that. There's problems in the family. Mom and dad aren't getting along. They're getting the children involved. They're asking the kids to take sides. You think it doesn't happen? You're fooling yourself. You know how kids are experts at playing mom and dad against each other? The sooner you learn that, mom and dad, the better off you'll be. Hello. I'm speaking from experience. Amen? But it doesn't matter. Who's right? Mom right? Dad right? Well, who do I like more? Mom, dad, doesn't matter. We need to instill in our children, you choose the Lord's side. We need to steal in husbands and wives. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. What does God say? I mean, yes, it is important, but it's not as important as who is right with the Lord and who isn't. So we think about that. Would you turn with me now to Luke chapter 12? Talking about division and things of this nature. I want you to see the words of Christ, if you will, tonight. Luke chapter 12. Let me know when you're right there, please. Look at verse 51. Now, how many of you have a red letter edition? So those words belong to who, supposedly? I mean, it's all God's word, but that's why I say it that way. It's all God's word, whether it's red or black. But here, Jesus is specifically speaking. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I mean, is he not the peacemaker? Does peace not come from Christ? How many of you think peace comes from Christ? That he is the ultimate peacemaker. Amen? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather what? Division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus wanted unity. He does. But in the last days, there will be divisions. Even amongst quote-unquote Christians, believers. We already see it. You just look at the different denominations of churches out there. Just look at the churches and their beliefs, and then you'll find, listen, there's division. Why can't we just get along? Well, I've always said, and I'll say it again tonight, if every one of us believe it as it is written, we will get along with others that believe it as it is written. There will be no, well, we teach this and we believe this. No, what does thus saith the Lord say? But Jesus was talking about, listen, even in homes and families, this is why it's important that we have the Word of God in our home. This is why we have Bible devotion time in our home, that we teach our children, as Deuteronomy 4 and chapter 6 say, you know, chapter 4 and chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, it tells you to talk about the Lord all day long, basically. To meditate on His Word. To put reminders about, whether it's on the wall, whether it's on the post of your house, even if it's upon the frontlets of your head or around your hand, you want to be reminded constantly of the Word of God. That way, you'll be able to choose the Lord's side. But what we have today is division caused by lack of devotion, caused by lack of will to fight for what is correct. You know, a lot of people, you know, it's uncomfortable to have problems, isn't it? It's uncomfortable to deal with things as they arise. And you know, really, we don't want to deal with stressful things, but why did it get that way? What brought it to that point? One person say, well, you're either on my side or you're my enemy. Well, being on the right side of history is being on God's side. Making the right decisions in our family is being on God's side. Jesus came, and because of him, did you realize that his name is one of the most divisive things in this world today still? I mean, you don't believe me? Just look around. Those of you that have lost ones in your family that you've been trying to witness to, and they're harder headed than this pulpit up here. There's division, isn't there? They don't want to hear it. We've been brainwashed. And, you know, it's really not important that we're right. That's not what it's about. It's about what does God say. And because I think God's right, I believe he's absolutely right in everything he says. He is the truth, by the way. I need to make sure I make my decisions based on him. Do you always do that, brother? Nope. And boy, do I suffer for it. Can I be honest with you tonight? Can we just get plain tonight? And listen, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, whose side are you going to be on? Pastor the other day jokingly mentioned, you know, I think we were really down on the right side over here. I'm pointing to my right side. We were really down on the right side over here, and it was kind of full over here. Of course, we had the youth group in here, and that really helped. But you want to be on the right side? Jesus said the sheep are on the right, and the goats are on the left. Now, that's why I sit over there. But anyway, I'm joking about that. But listen, when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat, the bema seat, hopefully, because you're saved, will it be determined that you were on God's side? Or will it be determined that you went against and were on Satan's side? Do you realize there's no in-between side? You're serving Satan or you're serving the Lord. You say, no, I'm not. I'm serving myself. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan. And we've got to make up our minds. We are in the last days, if not the last moments. And this is just as much for me, if not more for me, than anyone else. Be on the right side, which is God's side. But that's going to come to make decisions. One other thing I want to remind you about. You know, I told you about, we heard about the church split when we were in Wyoming, and it broke our heart. We weren't happy about it at all. And nobody ever should be happy about something like that. Not in their right mind, not if they love Jesus. But turn to me to Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. And I'll try to close with this. We get caught up. Would you say America is a divided country today? Would you say it's a polar division? You're either extreme left or you're extreme right. You know the Bible warns us against going to the left or the right. Hello? You can go too far to the right, and you can definitely go too far to the left. And of course, it's easier to recognize the too far to the left stuff, but you can go too far to the right. Why not just be balanced? Boy, that's hard to do. But a lot of times, you've got people destroying each other on live TV. Well, this person's a liar. This person's corrupt. You can't trust them. In fact, they'll even talk about this person needs to be killed because they don't agree with me. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But do you know we can bring that into our personal lives? We can bring that into our home if we're not careful. But the thing is, brothers and sisters, even if a person in our community or in our family, if they don't agree with us, our war is not with them. How many of you understand that? It's not. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. And I think as Americans, even as believers, we've lost sight of this. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And of course, it talks about that's why we need the whole armor of God. When we go out into this lost world, the lost person is not our enemy. Please understand that. If we're not careful, we will look at people who are not saved and we'll say, well, they deserve to go to hell. Hold on just a second. I deserve to be in hell today. Well, they don't act like us. They don't talk like us. They hate us. Are you judging a little bit there? Maybe they've never been presented with Jesus Christ. Maybe they've heard hate all their life, and they've heard that God is not even real, and or that these people that are fanatics, these Christians that tell you that there's this guy named Jesus. Well, listen, Jesus does exist. He is God the Son. And he loves that person. And he wants that person who's lost, who hates him, who doesn't know him. He wants them to come and realize who he is so that they too can be on the Lord's side, if they'll trust him as their personal Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad God put someone in your pathway? Aren't you glad that when you were wicked as you could be, and I've heard some story about long hair and stuff like that. Brother Lee, you know anything about that? you know, I've heard these stories, and I'm like, well, how could they do that? Well, they weren't saved. What are they supposed to do? We keep trying to put the world into our framework of what a Christian ought to look like, and we're dealing with lost people. Brothers and sisters, even the lost are not our enemy. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say your Christian neighbor. He said, love thy neighbor. That could be lost. It could be whoever. But when we think about it, hey, when people go against the word of God knowingly, yeah, we should say something. We should stand up for God. Thankfully, we don't live in the Old Testament era where we can put people to death for not believing in the Lord or obeying him, because we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Amen. When we try to force people to choose what side they're on, you know what we're doing? We're pushing them away. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You need to get saved. You need to get on my side. Why do they need to be on my side? I'm not going to be able to do anything for them. They need to be on the Lord's side, but they can't be on the Lord's side until they know who he is and accept him as their personal Savior. We are too busy as a nation, even as a world today, trying to make enemies of everybody that doesn't think like we do. How many of you come to the conclusion you're not right all the time? Here, you can raise your hands. No, I'm just kidding. Don't raise your hands, please. I'm not always right. And just because I see something a certain way and somebody doesn't see it my way does not make that person my enemy. Do I see things the way God tells me? You say, why'd you put it that way? Because he's the truth. He's not changed his mind. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his ways. Aren't you glad? I need to see things God's way. And the only way I can do that is by being in his word, by spending time in fellowship with him and asking him to lead me and to guide me, and where I'm wrong, show me. And even when he shows me and I don't do anything about it, Lord, show me again. Please help me, you know, do right. I want to be on your side, Lord. And division is greater today than it has been. But child of God, we are to love each other. We are to be on the Lord's side, and we are definitely not to be fighting against one another. And we have allowed Satan to take our focus off of what God wants us to do and put the focus on what are my preferences. Do you agree with me or not? Are we going to get along? Are you getting along with God? Are you and him in agreement? If not, it's a good time to get it right, isn't it? But just some thoughts the Lord put on my heart yesterday, and of course I know why, so I could share it with you tonight, and I hope that the Lord is speaking to all of us, every single one of us, because I do want to be on the right side of his story. Don't you? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, this is your word. Lord, I am absolutely of no authority, no power other than what you have allowed me to have. But Lord, I pray that you would take what we heard tonight, Lord, the verses that we have been brought to, the teachings of the Bible. Father, please help us. Lord, help us to truly meditate upon your word. Help us, Father, to die to self. So many times we get up and we forget to crucify our flesh. So many times we get up and we've got our minds made up that the world needs to submit to us. Father, we need to submit to you. Lord, I don't know who may have been affected by what they heard tonight, but Father, as only you can do, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just touch hearts. And Lord, that you would create in us something that is pleasing in your sight, that we could truly be found in the fashion of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, continue to show us mercy. Lord, continue to be long-suffering with us. Please, Lord. And Lord, help us to love people the way you do. I ask these things in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for affording me the time to speak tonight. Let's go ahead and we'll take prayer requests tonight. If you have any prayer requests that you